There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archived for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
Across this great nation. So my question is, whoever occupies the White House next, will they bring in their own security detail after the nonsense of the latest row with the boys who are paid to take the bullet? Yeah, you're not going to believe this. In fact, one of the top Secret Service agents on Obama's detail was out partying with another Secret Service agent, and they crashed into the White House barricades after they were out late night partying. Crazy. I mean, this happened, you know, less than a week and a half ago. Witnesses say that the car's overhead flashing lights were up and both agents were showing their badges to get through a section of the grounds that had been closed off because of an investigation of a suspicious package. The car ran through security tape before hitting the barricades, which had been set up temporarily during the investigation. So the agents were Mark Conley, who's second in command, by the way, on Obama's detail, and George Ogilvy, who's a senior supervisor in the Washington field office. Key thing is here is what is going on with the culture of the Secret Service. They keep getting caught in these embarrassing situations, whether someone leaps the fence and they get all the way into the White House before they're finally stopped, or, oh, geez, we had a woman in charge who's a terrific Secret Service agent, and through our ranks she moved, and this just didn't work out. Then you have all the way back to 2012, the agents who were getting ready for that Cartagena, Colombia presidential trip, and they were there ahead of time, so they had some spare time. They decided to hire some local prostitutes, and they took them back to their hotel rooms. And of the 13, some resigned, six resigned or retired, four had clearances taken away. Three went back to duty. And, you know, here we go again. So the culture obviously has not changed with the Secret Service. And it does, I'll tell you, it does make you wonder. It does make you wonder what's happening there. Is it just the stress of the job? I mean, listen, your time off, you do what you want, but crashing through the barricades of where you work, that's pretty darn embarrassing and pretty tough to explain away. Because, I mean, clearly you had been drinking and you were out partying very, very, very late. And you know, that's the kind of things that happen. If you or I drove through the barricades, would they give us a pass? We'd be in handcuffs. Are you kidding? And we would probably be seen as a threat to the president. And so who knows what would happen to us if we had done a similar thing and just somehow found ourselves in the wrong space. Terrible. All right, so Hail to the Chief applies to, you know, the music that trails the president. We all know that. Somebody who really would like to hear that orchestra behind her would be Hillary Clinton. House is not, it's just trying to stay out of the Clinton email thing. They're not really jumping on it. They keep getting asked it because there's a daily briefing every day. And that's when you have all the reporters who are shouting out questions, and the questions that they want to know are about what's, you know, about the email. That's a big one. There are other things like Iran and the Republicans who sent the letter and all that sort of thing. But this still is overwhelmingly the titillating news of the day or the week in D.C., and they're trying to push past this. Josh Earnest, who is the White House press secretary, said he's not And that's how he said it. He said, well, I'm not particularly interested in discussing the emails. And, of course, there are some answers to be sought because the president was getting emails from the Secretary of State that weren't on a government address. And since he uses a government address, you know that. And he kept trying to convince that we're moving on to something else. And it was just the day before where Hillary Clinton said she should have used a government account, but she didn't because it was a matter of convenience. So she deleted two, which is really worrisome for a lot of people. She deleted thousands of emails that she said were personal and private in nature, and that's why she did it. So when asked if the White House is concerned about it, Ernest stressed that that Clinton says she turned over her work-related emails to the State Department. And finally, when he was really pressed, he said the secretary's handling of her own personal email and the maintenance of personal email inbox is something that I'm not going to comment on and I'm not particularly interested in. That would be like the whole quote there. So they spent, you know, a week trying to answer these questions and it was what's going to happen, and they're just trying to move around it. So, ultimately, it's going to take a couple of months at least before they even get the emails. Now, there are about 30,000 emails that might not have been turned over is what they're saying. But they don't know that. And, of course, then it goes to the whole server thing, the private server deal. And Trey Gowdy, the congressman from South Carolina, who is leading the committee, the House committee, looking into the Benghazi attacks, says, turn the email over. We want your private server. We want the server. And she's going to have to testify twice. And I wonder what that testimony is going to be like, because now we certainly can see, and we've seen this before, when Hillary Clinton starts to get bombarded, really from all sides too, by the way, because Democrats are piling on this some anyway, so this is where she does not thrive. This is where she squirms and is not comfortable. She doesn't, you know, it's like that comment about it's a matter of convenience. But convenience for her, but what about everybody else that had a State Department address or anybody else in the government? And I guess this is the problem. But ultimately, does it trip her up on the road to getting the Democratic nomination? Not unless some other Democratic candidate comes along who knocks her off, which that could happen. Otherwise, I think they weather the storm and then just move on from that. Hey, coming up on America Tonight, you don't want to miss this. We're going to go deeper on the funding for the Boston bombing operation with Ilya Fayakistov, who has plenty to say about a document that they revealed that traces money back to the Saudis that was donated to some mosques that had some radicalization in them, and specifically pointing out people, including the Saudi king, which we've talked about before on this show, but the observations and the specifics on the Saudis and how much money, the money might surprise you. The amount of money might surprise you. So that's coming up on the flip side here on America Tonight, so don't skedaddle. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it. So decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610 or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates. 1-800-425-4610.
Based on actual cases, results may vary. Not a solicitation for legal services.
Theokistoff. He's in what I call our virtual green room. I always have a lot of fun with this with people. And we're talking about something that we certainly have talked about for the last couple of years, almost couple of years, because we're coming up on the two-year anniversary of it, what happened in Boston. And now we have Jokhar Tsarnaev, who's currently on trial for terrorism charges. But really what we want to uncover and what we've talked about so much with so many experts on this show is where did they get the money? What happened? What was the push? Who was behind? Were there other forces? So Ilya is the director of research at the Americans for Peace and Tolerance. And Ilya, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you much for having me on.
So first of all, your impressions of what's happened so far in this trial.
It's pretty predictable. I mean, everybody knows he's guilty. This stage of the trial is going to go basically according to plan. Even the defense admits that he's guilty. The real fireworks are going to start during the sentencing phase, because that's the big unknown in this trial, whether he'll get the death penalty or he'll get life without parole.
Yeah.
So what is, when that starts.
What does your gut tell you on that? I mean, I know you don't have a crystal ball just like I don't, but we're watching what the evidence and what the prosecutors are trying to do with the manifesto or the scribblings that were on the boat. Do you think they have enough to sway that death penalty in a place like Massachusetts?
So, you see, the lawyers for Tsarnaev are masters at plea dealing. One of them got the Unabomber a plea deal. And I think that it was very strange that they didn't come to a deal, to a plea deal. Somebody wants this trial to happen, and also, you know, Eric Holder's Justice Department is not exactly death penalty friendly. So I think it is very likely, even in liberal Massachusetts, that he will get the death penalty. I personally don't think he should get the death penalty because it will make him a martyr, but I think he might get it.
Yeah. The other thing that I mentioned at the top is tracing the money. We always say follow the money. So when you follow the money, what have we seen with these bank records and what they're showing as far as the Saudis are concerned?
So the Tsarnaev brothers attended a local mosque called the Islamic Society of Boston during their increasing radicalization. We don't know exactly what they were taught there. We definitely don't think they were told to go and bomb the marathon, but we do know that this mosque preaches an extremist form of Islam, and they're only 2 out of 12 individuals in the past decade who are either killed in jail or on the run from law enforcement because of their involvement in terrorist activity that were either worshippers or leaders of this mosque, including the mosque's founder, who is in jail now for fundraising for Al-Qaeda. He's in jail for 23 years. Now, we were able to get the entirety of this mosque's bank records during a lawsuit when they tried to sue us for libel, and we prevailed in this, and we also got massive amounts of their internal documents, and we saw that in the year 2000, this mosque decided to build the largest mosque on the East Coast, greatly enhance its footprint, and they got $8.6 million of that $15.6 million price tag of theirs from rich Saudi elite, including several who have some very troubling terrorist connections.
Wow. And, you know, I'm surprised, and certainly I read about that and whatnot. I think it's a giant story. But there's always that apprehension and the defense of the Saudis somewhat, isn't there?
You know, it's interesting. We have a very ambivalent relationship with the Saudis. Now, we do know that the Saudi government was actively funding Al-Qaeda terrorism in the 80s and the 90s, but so were we in the 80s with Afghanistan. Recently, the Saudi government really stepped up its game for its own purposes, for its own self-existent concerns, because they realized that they created a Frankenstein monster, and they're gonna, you know, this is gonna come back to haunt them. It's a challenge to their own power. So they've taken steps to curtail it as far as the government goes. However, Saudi Arabia is a very extremist culture. And the wealthy elite who sort of control the culture and who keep the people, women and others under extreme oppression, are very much in league and very much are sympathetic to groups like the Muslim Brotherhood and Al-Qaeda and ISIS. So they continue to fund all the radical causes around the world. And that's what we see with the Islamic Society of Boston. These are Saudi individuals, elites, very wealthy people, billionaires, financial institutions like the National Commercial Bank of Saudi Arabia and various charities. For example, a charity that gave money to the Boston Marathon Bombers Mosque, a charity that was run by the mastermind of 9/11, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, in the 1990s.
And one of the things that you did, the Americans for Peace and Tolerance, you made publicly available the names of what we're talking about, the wealthy Saudi and Gulf sources, actually, who put this money together that we're talking about, the $8.6 million of the ISBCC Mega Mosque, $15.6 million price tag overall. So in doing that, is that the idea? Let's let people know. Here's what we found out. Let's get that information out there so you know where it's being tracked back.
Exactly. There's a variety of reasons why we did this. People should go to peaceandtolerance.org to check it out, peaceandtolerance.org, and also a variety of our other reporting on this whole issue. Number one is we're a small house, and, you know, we were really hoping that if we put this out there, then sort of through the power of crowdsourcing, people would take a look at all these names much more closer, detailed than we're capable of as far as our resources go. Number two, we really wanted to send a message to the Saudis. If they are funding these things in the United States, Their names will be displayed. We are a country that believes in transparency, and we very much want to know who's funding radical mosques. And number three, because we want to discourage donations to extremist organizations. Perhaps some of these Saudi individuals really had no idea what kind of extremist mosque they were supporting and wouldn't have done so if they knew. So these are sort of the reasons why we've put it out there right now.
Do you think people would be surprised to learn that, you know, the donors to the ISB and its directors is the Saudi prince?
I think so, yeah. So we had Saudi Prince Bandar bin Sultan give a sum of money, several thousand dollars, to the ISB's executive director. This guy just recently, there's a lawsuit by the 9/11 families against the Saudi government, and they actually had the so-called 20th hijacker, the failed one, Zacharias Moussaoui, who's in jail for life now, testify in a sworn affidavit that he knows that this Saudi prince in particular is a funder of Al-Qaeda or was a funder of Al-Qaeda during his involvement with Al-Qaeda. So, yes, an Al-Qaeda-funding Saudi prince giving money to an American religious institution raises a lot of questions and concerns.
Yeah, and that makes sense, obviously. And we've had other people that have called the show and brought up some of those let's say, tenuous relationships and, you know, who, if you dig a little bit deeper, who you would find there. What surprised you the most about the information that you were able to gather?
Really the sheer scale of the funding. I mean, one would assume that a local religious institution would be funded by its members, that it would be controlled by its members, and that its members would have a say in what kind of preaching goes on there and any other aspect of the institution's governance. What we found was that that was absolutely not the case. The money, the controlling money, comes from overseas in Saudi Arabia, and the people that actually own and control the mosque primarily live overseas and have very little connection right now to the Boston community. So this Muslim community is really disenfranchised in their religious institutions because they have no control over it.
Yeah. Boy, oh, boy. So great stuff on your website, by the way. You mentioned it once, peaceandtolerance.org. That's where you go. Ilya, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a good one.
You too.
Complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
A little right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
The freeze-dry guy, leader in the preparedness industry for 44 years, is closing his California warehouse. Don't miss out on this huge warehouse sale and receive discounts from 30 to 40% off on the finest Mountain House and Packaway brand freeze-dried and dehydrated foods for long-term food storage or even everyday use. Plus deep discounts on all in-stock survival gear. The Freeze Dry Guy is offering a wide selection of freeze-dried foods in number 10 cans and even individually packaged entrees. Remember, meats, vegetables, fruits, and long-range patrol rations are the main components for any long-term food storage. This is limited to stock on hand, so hurry and call 866-404-3663 or 530-798-4414. Remember, as always, free shipping to the lower 48 states. So hurry up and call 866-404-3663 or 530-798-4414. Remember, this is limited to stock on hand. The Freeze-Dry Guy is your choice for survival food in an uncertain world.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
By now, you may have heard a bit about Bitcoins. But did you know Bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept Bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning Bitcoins or trying to make money in the Bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive Bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for Bitcoins. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co.
Time for another edition of We Can Count. We really can count. And sadly, this is one thing you always wish you could count on, that you would get on a plane and it would get there and there wouldn't be a bird that got stuck in the engine. There wouldn't be a plane that skidded off the runway and scare you half to death. The flight crew of the Delta Airlines plane that skidded into a fence at LaGuardia last week said it was a brake issue during the landing. They updated that report, the NTSB did. The crew said they didn't sense any deceleration from the wheel brake upon landing, despite the auto brakes being set to the max. That didn't appear to be bad. So the runway was all white in the moments before the landing. That would be pretty tough, right? And they decided to land after getting a brake action report of good from air traffic control. And yada yada, the list goes on. So the Boeing MD-88 had significant damage to the left wing, the flight spoilers, the nose of the plane to the left wing fuel tank. I remember hearing one of the passengers say, "We hit the fence." So the airplane circled New York because of the issues with the snow and ice. Then it touched down after 11 o'clock. It slid off the runway with its nose busting through a fence before it skidded to a halt. Just a few feet from freezing cold waters. 23 passengers got minor injuries. Others were transported to the hospital for evaluation. And so the NTSB, you know, looked at the weather and the cause of the accident still has not been determined yet. Frightening to see the people. You know, when you see the plane and it's landed on the fence and then you see people in their coats just running off the plane, getting off the plane and running through the snow. Boy, those are scary moments. It reminds me of, okay, so they're there. It would be nothing like what happened with the Hudson landing, where they barely went over the George Washington Bridge and then heard the words brace for impact, and then you see the people and nobody miraculously is hurt seriously or dies or any of that, and they survive it. But boy, in New York, that's certainly, those airports there can be pretty dicey, but they've had so many, you know, hundreds, thousands of successful landings, but it's heavy, heavy trafficked. I mean, to push the tin there, in other words, to be an air traffic controller there, you'd have to have nerves of steel because you'd be getting hit from the right, from the left, and coming in from this approach and coming in this way and going to LaGuardia and going to JFK and whatnot, and then the takeoffs and everything that, you know, that entails. Let's jump to something else here. I love this story. You know, it is about the numbers. The world's largest machine. What do you envision as the world's largest machine? If somebody said, hey, do you know what the world's largest machine is? Would you even know what it is? Well, it's the particle accelerator, and it is the largest machine in the world. It runs underground, and here's your number, 17 miles, we're talking about it. That's how long it is, in other words, 17 miles. And so what does it do? Well, what it does is the elementary particle that has unlocked some of the universe's longest standing secrets is now has a chance to be nailed down even more. The Higgs boson particle, right? And this large Hadron Collider is what they call it, which is 17 miles in circumference, and it occupies a tunnel on the French-Swiss border, so that's where it is. It's totally tricked out with magnets, energy beams, tight vacuum, and scientists are hoping to shine a light on some of the universe's wild phenomenon, some of the things that we don't know about it. They say the Higgs was the final piece of the jigsaw puzzle, and now they have the whole enchilada. And they know the model isn't complete. So that's, you know, what it's about. They're trying to look at things like, I know this is going deep, but like dark matter. Because it's a type of matter that can't be seen, but whose presence can be inferred, they say, from gravity, from the effects on visible things, visible matter, radiation and the structure of the universe and way above my pay grade. But here's another number for you. Physicists believe this unseen material, the dark matter, makes up about 85% of all the matter in the universe. And regular matter is what we are made of, along with stars, planets, cosmic kind of material that accounts for 4% of mass energy of the known universe. But so, in other words, if you listen to those percentages I just gave, the vast majority of what constitutes reality absolutely still eludes us. So, hey, cool. Maybe this biggest machine ever will be able to shed some light on it. I don't watch very many reality shows. Some of you might watch them. Some of them are decent. I used to watch The Amazing Race because I thought it was cool that they went all over the world, and I wasn't glued to it, but when I caught it, I thought it was entertaining. But reality is a very big segment of what people watch. So you may watch Top Gear. Top Gear host Jeremy Clarkson has been suspended for hitting a producer. Yep, allegedly. The BBC said Clarkson, one of the biggest earners, had a little fracas with the producer. and was suspended because they're going to investigate it. There are a lot of people that are upset by this. This shows you that reality television, when done well enough that people really get invested in the host, will try to save you. So fans of Clarkson already have, more than 300,000 people have signed a petition trying to get him reinstated, saying the show is just not the same without him. They got to get him back there as soon as possible. I don't know, but slapping a producer? Slapping the producer? And other people have had run-ins with him. He's been a controversial kind of guy, really, throughout his career. He made headlines even last year when Argentina complained about a Top Gear special filmed in the country in which the number plate H982FKL was used, and it was, some interpreted it as a reference to the 1982 Falklands War. So they were forced to stop filming and leave the country. And this Top Gear show, so you know, has been named as the world's most widely watched factual program in the Guinness World Book of Records 2013. Check out the amount of people that watch this. 350 million global viewers. It sold to 214 territories. So, yeah, somebody is watching it. And so when he slaps a producer, allegedly, and gets booted, gets suspended, look how easy it is. It's easier for him to get people to back him than Hillary Clinton to back her on whether or not she should have to release all those other emails and have her servers looked at forensically. So that tells you something. I don't know, maybe I should check out Top Gear. I do like the car thing somewhat, and maybe I'm missing out if that many people are watching it. But the key thing is losing your temper. And can you imagine, even if you've wanted to do it, can you imagine physically doing something to a coworker? You'd be toast immediately. I mean, immediately. All right, this is a sad story, but it's also a story of triumph, because this is a guy who had ALS and still continued to work because he wanted to work. His name is Richard Glatzer, and he was the director of Still Alice, and Still Alice won an award for Julianne Moore for Best Actress, where she played a woman who was still youthful, had kids and a husband, and was struck with Alzheimer's. But he was directing this movie about Alzheimer's, and a real person, you know, this professor, female professor, battling Alzheimer's, as she still is, and he was riddled with ALS. So he died in L.A. on Tuesday after having ALS for 4 years. He was 63 years old, a pretty youthful 63 years old in his pictures. He looked that way anyway. And that last piece of art that he did won several awards, and is a movie that people are embracing and saying, wow, it's just such a great movie, so inspirational, that the people dealing with Alzheimer's, which is so many in this country, it really portrayed what it's like, and he had a big hand in that. And when he was asked if he wanted to, what he wanted to do when he was diagnosed with ALS, did he want to travel and see the world or do whatever, he said he wanted to make movies because that was his profession, that's what he did. And that last film was absolutely a brilliant film, and even riddled with ALS, he still was controlling what was going on that set. So Richard Glatzer, dead at the age of 63 after battling ALS for 4 years. Hang with us. What's trending on the flip side here on America Tonight?
Extend your life with this. Here's what one doctor has to say about Extendivite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on your product and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens and dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them, and what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. The yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect, and most of the other herbs in there I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut, it's working on the liver, it's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
As the new world order continues to tighten its grip on every facet of our lives, we're all asking ourselves, how can we maintain our independence? The answer is clear. Get prepared, and you get prepared now. Now the only question left is, where do we begin? My Patriot Supply is here to help. Call 800-247-3070 to get started with your 72-hour emergency food supply for only $10. We're even covering the cost of shipping. Are you willing to rely on the government and FEMA in the event of an emergency? Call 800-274-3070 to get started with your 72-hour emergency food supply for only $10. You won't be able to find this deal online, and there is a strict limit of 4 per caller, so don't wait. Call now, 800-274-3070. That's 800-274-3070. Call right now.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
I'm really glad my buddy Mark turned me on to GunsAD.com. I got to tell you, I didn't want to buy any more firearms. I didn't want a paperwork trail headed back to Big Brother. I want 100% privacy. I want to be an invisible gun owner. Hello? So Mark says, hey, you know, GunsAD.com, Ghost AR-15. Ghost means invisible. Get it? Ghost AR-15. GunsAD.com. I got a couple, if you know what I mean. Go to GunsAD.com or call 844-2GUNS80.
Trending in the 140 character world. Here's what's trending. Save UAE. Save a UAE. And so what does that mean? It means Save UAE is superheroes. It is cricket, and they're superheroes to many. And what they're talking about in the cricket world is what's happening between several teams and the history that can be made, and you know, the best batsman. David Miller, who is, they say, is incredible, maybe the best entry ever by a batsman into a cricket field. And I know by now all of you are saying, that's trending on Twitter. What is she talking about? Cricket! In part of the world where some are listening to us, cricket is hot, hot, hot. In the United States, what's trending is a television show from the entertainment world called Empire. Millions and millions of people are watching this, and it's, once again, in a way, brilliant. And I say in a way brilliant because one thing the entertainment world has done well with this whole branding and the 140-character world is think about it. On Fox, they have American Idol, right? So they, I mean, how great is that? They owe someone's dreams. They get a recording contract, and people watch, and they watch people sing, and then some of them go on to great things like Kelly Clarkson or Jennifer Hudson or a slew of others who have made it in the music business and gotten a leg up. So anyway, this show, Empire, features the Lyons family, and he's a R&B rapper with a gangster background, and it melds the world of black culture with others and the music business. And so another stroke of brilliance in a sense, because you bring other famous singers into the show, you're releasing new music. So in other words, you have an ATM machine. You're using the environment and creating stars that are becoming on, you know, that are on the show singing, and using some well-known people too as well to do the acting chops of of the whole thing. All right, the other thing is also that's trending in the world of sports. Sports is big in the 140 character world. And what's trending is DeMarco Murray, and that's trending because he's a running back for the Dallas Cowboys, and what's going to happen with him. He is visiting the Philadelphia Eagles on Thursday. So if that's true, maybe that's what's happening with DeMarco Murray. Maybe he's going to end up in Philadelphia. They could seal the deal. The Raiders and some others had mentioned some possibilities, but it looks like he could go there. So that's trending. The other thing that's trending is Hillary Clinton. Yes, Hillary Clinton. And that's all to do with the emails. People reacting to the emails and her comments the other day, and where Hillary Clinton should end up, and perhaps it's not the White House. That's the kind of comments. Like, there's one here from Boingo Man who says, "Bouncer out of the big house or to it, I'm not sure which." Clever. You know what the big house is. So in the world of politics, that's also trending. Another thing that's trending in the world of politics, which means people are talking about it on Twitter, it's being heavily discussed. The other thing that is trending is what's happening with the situation with Iran, meaning the people on the Hill, the 47, who sent a letter to Iran saying, "Whoa, you know, this isn't etched in stone. It's not etched in stone, because once the president is gone, that can change with a stroke of a pen." The Secretary of State, John Kerry, ripped the letter that the Republicans sent at a hearing on Wednesday, and the Republicans are kind of on the defense on this one. So that was all over Twitter. Senator Tom Cotton, who did an op-ed piece in the USA Today, tried to explain why he helped organize the letter, which 47 GOP senators signed. He said the open letter, of course, warns Iranian leaders that Congress or a future president could rip up a nuclear pact after President Obama leaves office. He said he cast the letter as a response to Obama's decision to skirt Congress in negotiating with Iran. He said that's why he did it. So, I mean, that's pretty much dominated Capitol Hill, arguing that the Republicans, did they undermine their own efforts to block a nuclear deal with Iran, or what was that? Press Secretary Josh Earnest called it an attempt to sandbag Obama during nuclear talks and leave only a military option on the table to deal with Iran's nuclear program. You know, saying that's a big problem. In fact, let's give you a direct tweet. Hillary Clinton took some heat for this. This was Hillary Clinton tweeting, "GOP letter to Iranian clerics undermines American leadership. No one considering running for commander-in-chief should be signing on this a day after she just went through her own nonsense with the emails. And see, it shows you in politics, a lot of politicians have taken to tweeting because this is the serious means of communicating, and a lot of people operate that way. They're getting news that way. They're pushing out opinions that way. So anybody who is in the political game has to be able to do that, since this is the wave of the future. And everybody knows what Twitter is, right? You get a Twitter handle and link a few things up and throw out a few facts out there, what you think are facts are, or clever things, because you can only do it in 140 characters. So you have to really tighten up what it is that you want to say. And a lot of people sounded off on that, the what was going to happen and why did they send those, why did they send that letter? It doesn't make any sense. Now, the other thing also that was kind of the butt of the jokes was the Secret Service, the fact that you had two Secret Service agents who drove through a barricade and were out partying late into the wee hours. And because there have been so many problems with the Secret Service, somebody leaps a fence, they get into the White House, and eventually they get them in the beginning in the foyer or whatever, but they got in. And the prostitutes in Colombia with the advanced crew and having to make a leadership change because of what was considered a lapse in judgment. So here we go again, yet something else happens with the Secret Service, and it's pretty disconcerting. So here's one from The Ladle, who says, Secret Service just bringing the clowns. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, bringing the clowns, because that's what it's like with the Secret Service. And especially because you had one of the Secret Service agents was on the detail for the president's. So that's not good. I mean, sure, can they have a life and have a day off and go and, you know, do what they want to do? Absolutely, but not drive their government car through the White House barricades. You are definitely more than blurring the lines there. And so now who knows what happens? I mean, do they get a pass? Do they get rearranged? Do they keep a guy who's heavy on the detail still on the detail, or do they move them out? That's what's trending, folks. Thanks for listening.
Know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.